Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek, episode number 135. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Bovis.
I see you still don't have a calendar. Today is the 16th of January, I believe.
Hold on.
Thursday evening, shortly after 8 p.m., typically.
Hey, we're before 8:30.
Yeah.
It's better than last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So deal with it.
Welcome to our podcast this evening. We are going to be discussing whatever we want mostly, but mostly based in the realm of tech news and random geekdom, I guess, really, at this point.
Seems legit.
Mostly tech news. Couple things. Or is there anything you want to say before we kick it off? Back up your files, both locally and remotely.
Backups. They're your friends.
It's important.
Mm-hmm. That's all we'll say about that. Bitcoin also.
Bitcoin's on the downward trend right now.
Good time to jump in.
We're going into a valley. That means we'll peak on the side. Eventually, right? What if we start walking up and it's like the never-ending mountain?
What if it's like the guy, the mountain climber in The Price is Right? You don't want him to go too far because he'll fall off the edge. You know which guy I'm talking about? Doing the yodeling?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to make sure you get just next to the peak. But you don't want him to fall over the edge. Anyways, welcome to Bleed Geek.
So,
Facebook.
They acquired a company over the weekend, or was it? It was probably last Friday, 1/13.
Friday.
They acquired a company called Branch, which I think we probably talked about a long time ago. But what Branch was, it came out of the Obvious Corp, which was Ev, Biz, and Jason of Twitter fame, the founders of Twitter, which really Obvious Corp was their company that they built Twitter out of. And then they focused on Twitter for a while, and then there's a lot of drama, and so then they essentially all stepped back from Twitter, and now they're just reaping money from it, basically. None of them actually work there anymore, but...
Seems legit.
Jason owned, like, 75% of the stakes and whatever. So Jason was one of the main people behind Branch. A few other people started it, but he was one of their bigger backers and helped them, and came out of their kind of like Milk was, where it's an app incubator, brain trust type thing. So they built Branch, which also then subsequently built another thing called Potluck, which both of them are apps. So Branch was, it's as funny as it is, was an app that allowed people to share links, basically to share fun stuff that they found, trying to draw traffic away from Facebook, basically, which is why it's kind of ironic that they were actually purchased by Facebook.
Good strategy on Facebook's part.
For about $15 million, which is not a lot. I mean, it's obviously a lot of money, but in the
tech world, when you're acquiring a company, that's...
I mean, we're going to talk about Path in a minute, and they just raised $25 million for fun. So I don't think there was a ton of money into Branch, so I think in the end, the investment was probably worked out right, but just an interesting acquisition by Facebook, and maybe it is just to eliminate some competition, since I doubt they actually... Well, they got probably part of the company, but, you know, some of the higher-ups were... with Obvious, so they won't be going with it.
I had heard other Facebook news this week that's been fairly trending recently about the Facebook demograph, how the age group, 14 is the youngest?
13.
13 to 18, the registrations is going down. And people are actually deleting their accounts now and moving elsewhere. I don't know where they're going, but they're not staying on Facebook. Snapchat.
It's interesting. Well, probably. Yeah.
It was
Snapchat and Twitter, I would assume.
17% drop.
But at some point, like, how many of those people, how many 13-year-olds turn 13 and they're like, the first thing I got to do is get a Facebook? Odds are they probably already have had one for the last 3 years and were just lying about their age.
Right.
So, I mean, that's going to hurt them anyway, I think, a little bit now, because they're finally catching up to that the kind of bubble that they protruded when they added the 13-year age block.
Right.
But, yeah, I it makes sense, though, too. On top of that, it's kind of like Netflix to me. It's like, again, I know you don't have Netflix, but it's like, I don't understand how they keep getting subscribers, right? Like, everyone I know, minus you, has Netflix. And so it boggles my mind that they can still keep increasing in such huge rates. But the same is kind of true with Facebook. Like, everyone already has it, or they're so anti-Facebook, there's no way they're ever going to get it. I think Facebook's really probably starting to hit its prime with, like, 40-year-olds and up. Like,
yeah, I know they said that they were hoping that, like, part of the acquisition of Instagram was to help retain the younger crowd. But it's like, I don't see the younger crowd using Instagram.
Well, on top of that, right now they're not integrated at all. So I could still use Instagram and not use Facebook, which is really what I would do.
Well, and that's a good thing anyways on the services part. Like,
right.
They shouldn't.
I would hate them to integrate. Yeah. But I mean, it's just, like, yeah, Instagram is helping them. And they added, you know, the direct messaging to fight Snapchat and the videos to fight Vine. But all those things are still happening on Instagram, not on Facebook. You can share Vine just as easily as you can on Instagram on Facebook, I'm sure.
The same as a tweet.
You know? And Twitter, I think, you know, I think Facebook's really going to hit its demographic. It's when everything's, you know, settled, the demographic is going to be 30 to 50 is like the hardcore Facebook users, where I think it's harder for them to keep up on Twitter. Like, Twitter seems like such a faster moving entity.
Big time. Well, you go there, I mean, depending on the amount of people you follow is right. How you control how fast your feeds go.
Yeah.
But no, I would agree with that statement.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what they do with that. And we just talked about it briefly, but Path picked up another $25 million, which is a little weird because they just, I mean, a few months ago laid off like 20% of their staff, right? And it's weird because this money is all coming from an Israeli company. And so a lot of people are wondering about, like, is Jihad. That going to affect anything? Like, I don't know. I saw articles, like, wondering why the money is coming from where it's coming from, I guess.
I just don't understand why. Like, I just last night actually removed Path from my tablet. Like, I don't. Is there people who are actively using it, like, instead of another service like Facebook?
The thing is, I think Path's problem is that it's already hit its peak, maybe? Like,
I would say it was at its peak when me and you got on it.
It's a very good service. It's very well designed, very well made. It's a cool idea. The problem is, everyone's already inundated with too many other services, and there's not enough people on Path to make it usable.
Right.
Even I've read a few people in the tech industry that, when this story came up, have said themselves that their Path usage, people that I know had talked about being heavy Path users before, it's really scaled down and dropped off because no one's really using it anymore.
Well, that's because it was funny. I looked on there, and it's like, my last update out there was 6 months ago, I think.
Yeah.
And then prior to that, for any of my friends, it was like a year before that. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a very, like, and I wish it would have caught on a little more than it did, but without.
Well, me and you, we tried. I mean, we got, I remember Tony was on there.
Yeah,
Danny was on there.
We forced
there.
About 10 people into it, I'd say.
Yeah. So.
And yeah, in the end, I mean, unless I had, like, I could see it being useful for someone more famous, like a, I don't want to say like a movie star or something, but like use that as an example. Someone that has like a million Facebook followers, because Facebook is, for at least for me, like intimate enough where there's nothing that I'm going to share on Path that I wouldn't be willing to share on Facebook. Not that I really share anything anyway, but that's not right. The point. But you know what I mean? Like the level of intimacy is so much easier. Like, so someone like, let's say a movie star could use Path with their family then, as opposed to using Facebook for their public profile or whatever, which is essentially run by a PR person. Even Twitter's becoming that way. Like, how many celebrities now don't even run their own Twitters because they've gotten in trouble at one point or another, you know?
Yep.
Or at least with Path, I mean, you have a little, it's supposed to be a little bit more intimate, right? Like, that's the whole point of it. But we'll see what they do. Really, I think, and honestly, it would make sense for them to get acquired at this point by someone like Yahoo or Google. Like, Google doesn't really need them. Like, they've got some pretty good designers now. They've moved forward. True. Like, I think that's what, like, someone like Yahoo that would need some really good designers, they could be used.
Yeah, past designers did, I mean, it's a really nice layout. Nice layout.
Or even if, I'm sure, like, even maybe one of the mobile companies like Samsung or something. Like, I could see them trying to get into that realm. But at this point now, they raised another $25 million. I don't know how much they have into it. Like, it's going to cost a lot to be acquired. And they do, I'm sure, have a reasonable user base still, but it's hard.
Yep. Speaking of acquisitions.
Yeah, we can skip to that one. We skipped over Dropbox, but we can come back to that. Yeah. The biggest acquisition, and probably, I would say, one of the two biggest stories of the week for sure, is Google buying Nest.
I'd say this is the biggest, one of the biggest tech news things of this year, even, so far. It's been
It's definitely...
It's created it's, waves.
Yeah. So they bought them for $3.2 billion in cash. Which is crazy.
Straight cash, homie.
I think I saw... It's funny. So a lot of people are up in arms about this, but I saw a funny stat that said, like, based on their user demo... Like, obviously, they bought them for the future and whatever, but, like, based on how many Nests are actively installed already, they essentially paid $3,000 per active user of Nest.
Dang.
Which is crazy because it's $250 for the thermostat. $250? I think it's $250.
$250 for the thermostat.
It's $130 for the smoke detectors. But so $3,000 is what they paid per current user, subscriber. I don't know how you.
I would say user.
User. And then I think I saw that it was like 5% of their cash on hand is what they used to buy. Like. I mean, granted, they have a lot of income and, you know, other things, like, but just straight cash on hand, like, it was 5% of their money, like...
It was in the petty cash fishbowl.
Right. But, like, that's crazy, like, at 5%, you think out of 105 isn't that much, but it's a huge chunk
a lot.
When 5% is $3.2 billion, that's a lot of money, right?
Yep.
And it's weird that they didn't cash, you know, because a lot of times it turns into stock, half of it's stock, half of it's cash, whatever, but... Tony Fadell is the CEO and the co-founder, him and a guy named Matt, I believe. And, you know, Tony Fadell was one of the fathers of the iPod is how they often refer to him. So a lot of people thought Nest would be eventually acquired by Apple.
Yep.
So that's a huge deal for a lot of people,
well,
of course.
Especially since when the Nest came out, it was exclusive to the iOS.
And they sell them in Apple stores. Which is another thing. And everyone's asked him. I've seen everything that someone's had a chance to interview him since then has asked him about that. And he's like, no, we're going to stay. You know, I mean, Google makes awesome apps for iOS as it is. Why would that change?
Yep. Well,
they're staying an independent company, essentially. They said they would be somewhere in between Motorola, which is completely separate from Google still, and YouTube, which is pretty well integrated at this point, right? So...
Yep.
Somewhere in between the two of them.
I wonder if they would build a like a dashboard app for Chrome, you know, similar to like Keep and I mean just all of the apps that you have available through Chrome, to where there could be like a Nest app to where you could control your
like a widget.
Yeah.
Like just a little like come up to my corner here, click on it.
Be like, oh, I mean obviously they're programmable, so you can have it do whatever, but it'd be like, oh man.
It's getting a little toasty in here.
It's kind of warm out. We're going to have to turn this up, turn the air conditioning on, so when I get home, it's going to be like 55.
Well, you can do that on your phone.
Oh. Well, I want to do it from my browser because my phone is in my car.
Right. I mean, it can't be far from that, I would assume. A lot of people are worried now that this automatically gives Google all their information. It's funny because Tony just kept clarifying that our terms of service haven't changed yet.
Right.
Yet.
Like, but people are like, oh my gosh, now Google's going to know what part of my house I'm in. Now they're going to know when I'm home. And it's like, hey, idiots. Like, I use Google Maps. So I've got, it doesn't even matter that I have Android. I've got Google Maps. On my maps, which is tied to my account, I have a location on my map called home. Where I'm at.
And one called work, probably.
I've got one work. I've got one called Nicole's. All I have to do is type in, hey, I need to go from home to here. So they already know that. Well, then I've got Google Apps.
And really,
on my
phone. You've allowed it, it knows where you are anyway.
Exactly.
Just by going on to Google Maps, it knows your current location.
So it's like, it's not that difficult for Google to figure out where the hell you are, people.
There are some people that are very adamant about not using Google services because they think they're taking all their data, though. And a lot of people, I mean, I'm not saying that these are justified craziness, but, you know, just in general, that Google is just taking more and more information about everybody to say, well, look, this part of Minnesota uses 2% more heat than this part, or, you know, however that may turn out, I don't know, but, and they're worried about people selling their data, which I don't really know what they're going to get out of that, but I guess it comes in a little more with... Maybe a little more with the Protect, their smoke detector,
Yeah. Which
actually has motion sensors in it, so it literally knows what part of the house you're in, because it, like, lights up, like, it can, like, at night, like, they can act as night lights when you walk through a room, so it illuminates a little bit, like, not bright, but, you know, it illuminates a little so you can see in the hallway, which is a cool feature, of course, but then, you know, Google knows I'm up, and so, blah, 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 blah.
Where's, like,
You know, but
there's... I don't know. Like, me and you are more open to this type of stuff, I think. But there are a lot of people who are very skeptical.
I think it's good for a lot of people. I think I can see how it's bad for people. Not like consumer people, but like someone like companies like Apple. Like, obviously it sucks because maybe they should have bought them. Maybe they...
Do you think they're kicking themselves?
I don't know. I mean, he was directly asked, because he did an interview with Neelai Patel from The Verge, and he directly asked him, you know, were you in talks with Apple? And he's like, of course, I can't discuss that, but we chose the best option for us. Tony reports directly to Larry. So, I mean...
To me, it was the...
For Google, I mean, obviously, it's a huge win for them.
Well, and they've talked about... How do we get into homes? Like, because they want to help automate people's lives. And this, to me, is the best first step that they could take into that, into home automation.
I agree with that. I think it's a huge point for them as well, because the group there, Google's never been lucky with hardware. And so this is a company that clearly has solid hardware chops. Like, I mean, Tony, the founder, co-founder and CEO of Nest, I mean, he helped make the iPod, the original, and iterate on it every year with great success, right? Like, it's solid hardware, and he was a big part of that. And obviously, the Nest is a beautiful design. The Protect is good. I like their design. I mean... You think, how much can you really change a smoke detector, right? But it looks good. It's functional. I think it's very good for Google. And obviously Nest, they got a lot of... Like, I saw some... I saw another funny stat. Like, one of the investors got like 20 times their money back out of the, because of the way the deal ended up going, right? Like, one of the earlier investors, I'm sure, but they got a ton of money out of it. And then the other bigger problem that a lot of people are having is, you know, because Google Ventures had money into it, did that sway their decision to be bought out by Google as opposed to Apple? And, like, what does that mean for all the other Google Venture-based backed companies, right? Like,
true.
Does Google have pull there? Can they? Because, obviously, investors have a say in who you sell to. So, being an investor, could they push them to Google when they were trying to buy them as opposed to someone like Apple? And it draws up a lot of weird little flags there. In the end, I think it'll all kind of fade away. No one will ever talk about it for a while until it happens again. But, I mean, it is an interesting question. And they claim to be completely autonomous. Is that the right word? Like, they're a separate entity. They're,
yes. Yeah. They're
their own company. So,
Google
Ventures to Google, I mean.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't affect anyone in the future, but yeah, it's definitely a big step. And, you know, another question he was asked was, you know, how long has this been in talks? He's like, well, I met Sergey the CES 2 years ago right before we launched the Nest, and he was very interested in it then. So, you know, obviously we've been talking for years, but are you going to get a Nest? Well, not here, Mike.
Yeah, not here. They do interest me. It's an expensive device, you know.
But it saves a lot of money. They have a lot of data to prove that. Maybe. I'm not selling it to you. I'm just saying
you
that.
Are.
All right, fair.
Yeah, I'll get one.
Okay.
I know I will have one eventually. How about that?
Yeah.
The smoke detectors is one of those things where I'd have to buy like one a year.
Yeah, those are a little harder because they're cheaper than the Nest because they're 130 as opposed to 250, but you have to have one per room, basically.
Yep.
And then the more you have, the better they work together, so it is pretty awesome. I would love to have, like, a whole... They're pretty awesome, but we'll see what happens. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about Nest before we move on to other stories?
Nope.
No go Google?
Go Google.
All right. Over the weekend, Dropbox went down for a little bit.
Dropbox.
Which is funny because we were just talking about it before the show. But and there was someone that was claiming on Twitter that they had hacked their website. The Syrians, I believe. You know, their hacker army.
Yeah.
But Dropbox said they were down. They did have internal problems, but they said there was no... They were doing internal maintenance, and they ran into an issue, and it ended up taking them down for a little while.
Hey, guys, even computer people have problems, okay?
So,
lay off.
So things happen, all right? But everything's back up. There's no breach data. Everything's cool.
Yeah, I feel like Dropbox
no worries.
Is fairly transparent. Like, there would be no reason why they would... Well, they actually... I feel like they would be transparent if they were actually hacked because of the possible amounts of data that they have.
Yeah. But, and I know to an extent they say everything that you give to them is they can't open themselves, they claim. Like, they have no ability. It's all encrypted on the user end. And so...
I don't buy that.
They claim,
but that's okay.
They claim it. And a lot of people
right.
have tried to disprove them, so, or claim to think that that's false to an extent of some sort, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Who am I to say? I'm still going to use them.
Yeah, me too. Because they're pretty awesome. And
that is
especially since I don't pay for it. And I have a lot of space for not paying for it. Speaking of a lot of space, Box.
Boxy Box?
Nope, just Box. Which is a lot. It's very, very similar to Dropbox. It's like nearly identical, same concept. They just kind of relaunched their iOS app, and if you signed up, iOS users were given 50 gigs for free for life.
That's a bunch of crap.
So I have 50 gigs there.
Well, aren't you just cool, Mike?
Kind of.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I want 50 gigs for free.
I wish I had 50 gigs of Dropbox because I actually use that more. Box is a lot more enterprise-based, so a little more on the enterprise side of things. But I've thought about using that 50 gigs and throwing all my pictures there. Funny, based on our earlier conversation. But it is what it is, right?
It's true.
Because what else am I going to use? I don't, like, I keep everything else in Dropbox, but as just to use it as a backup, I thought, you know, that might not be a bad idea. Now even more so. The other big story this week, and which will have direct effect on everybody, is a federal court struck down the FCC net neutrality rules. Essentially, Verizon, I believe, sued. Comcast sued before, and then Verizon somehow appealed Comcast's loss. In the end, essentially, they got the net neutrality rules thrown out. They say Verizon went on this Twitter and everything and was like, oh, this is awesome. This is a great win for us. Anyone who works on the internet, works in press, works in... There's a whole free open internet party. I don't know, not a party, but movement, let's say.
It's a party.
But they are very upset by this, with very good reason. This is a huge issue for anyone who uses the internet. And even on the news, the regular news today, they were talking about the fact that you might end up paying more for Netflix because of this. Because now Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, Time Warner have the ability to say, hey, you know what? Netflix, you're using an awful lot of our bandwidth, so we're going to slow you down. And because of net neutrality rules being gone, they have the ability to do whatever they want. So
it's not a good thing.
It's going to be a problem. We might not see any issues from this problem for a while.
What do you think the biggest right now? Like, because I can already see a few places where I can see future issues coming up, but where do you think you could potentially see an issue?
I think it'll be things just like that. Like, let's say Comcast, right? They have Xfinity. They can essentially have the ability to shut down Netflix now.
I see video streaming services as the biggest
or
impact.
Amazon.
That's,
you know,
exactly. I see Netflix and Amazon as the two that they'll go after. I mean, it sucks.
It's
for
because
people.
The cable company, especially with the cable companies owning a lot of the last mile of pipe or whatever for the internet, they could say, you know, well, we're gonna slow this down unless you pay us extra for it. And they're going to be able to add on extra fees for things like that. Or they could turn around and put it on Netflix, which is something, obviously, that the news mainstream media seems to think is going to happen. Wheeler, I believe, is the chairman of the FCC right now. He has said that he does plan to do something about this and that there needs to be net neutrality rules in place. I thought I saw something that Obama was... You know, he thinks there needs to be something put back in place. They really need to treat the internet like utility, like they did with phone services before. And I think that's how the loophole came in, is because they're saying internet is a different entity than telephone networks.
And I would agree with them to a point. It is a different beast, but...
And in the end, it was the wording... was soft, and that's how they got out of it, right? Like, that's how it ended up winning, was because of the way it was worded. But this isn't going to be seen for, I don't think, I think it'll take a little while, but it will be felt. I mean, they'll be able to shut things down, torrents. You know, they could just block access to Pirate Bay now.
And thankfully, there's an, and maybe that gives people reason to check out. Maybe I should check out the Pirate Bay browser, actually. Remember we had talked about that?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that they were going to do was encrypt all traffic. So if you encrypt all of your traffic, they can't control it. Because they can't see what you're doing.
And I mean, maybe it'll push for something like that to come up.
It's going to be...
You know,
it's going to be VPNs, encrypted traffic, and they were. I read an article actually. That's what this is reminding me of now. That in order to keep citizens safe, surfing safe, like what you're doing on the internet, just like more private, is somebody needs to come up with a different way to access the internet. Like the internet is built on old technology, and it's a very simple kind of archaic way of accessing things, you know, and it's basically the gist of the article was we need to from the ground up rebuild of the internet system in its own.
The network, the entire network, you mean? Like the lines and everything? Or just like how the protocol. How it works? Okay.
Yep.
It's just that would be so hard.
But like, and that's where maybe I'll give myself some homework to look into the Pirate Bay browser and just see what it's about. Because I know that was one thing that it was going to do, was force encrypted traffic.
And I mean, this won't just affect the internet. I mean, it affects the internet, right? But it affects cell phones, too, to an extent. It opens up things like AT&T to be like, guess what? We have a partnership with Skype. So we're going to block FaceTime on, or Hangouts on all of our networks, or, you know, like singular things like that as well.
Yep.
Because, hey, or even just the fact that that's using data and not cell phone minutes, right? Like, I don't know. It is a huge deal. And the problem, like, it'll be a while to see the effects of this. But it'll take even longer for things to get rolling in the other direction to stop it from happening, because you're talking about things that need to be restructured. Our government just moves so slow. I mean, they can hardly keep themselves open most of the time, right, at this point? Like,
'tis true.
I mean, they're just talking about this bill just now that's just going to pass to get us through till the end of September with funding before we have another shutdown, I'm sure, you know, but It's all crazy.
It's all fun and games.
But the FCC, the net neutrality rules, is a huge issue. And if you don't know more about it, you should look into it on your own, because knowledge is power.
I'm just a bill.
On Capitol Hill?
Yep.
Into lighter, better news. Spotify pulled all its limits on web listening. And I saw right earlier this afternoon, just a couple hours ago, that RDO is also doing the same thing.
Oh, imagine that. Why would they do that?
Because Beats is launching very soon their music service, supposedly.
So that seems silly to you? Do you think it's going to do all right?
I think it'll do all right, because for one, it already has a brand that people know and for whatever reason seem to really like.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I personally don't like Beats headphones.
I don't think they sound bad. I don't think they sound good.
Right. Like, I don't... Anyway, neither here nor there. It's personal preference. But I think the brand will help them. I'm sure they'll find a way to buy these headphones, get a year of our service for free type stuff.
Yep.
Which I mean, the fact that they're in the fact that they're in another market makes it easier for them to open more people to their devices. That's like DVD players when they started to sell with Netflix, right? Like, how good was that for Netflix, you know? So, the interesting thing is, where all the other music listening things have, like, you can do it with either ad-supported, or, you know, you can listen to so much a month for free, or you can use any browser for free. Supposedly, with Beats, because there's a lot leaked. There's a lot of leaked screenshots. There's a lot leaked about it. Supposedly, it's going to have a 7-day free trial, and that's it. After that, you have to pay for it. So a lot of people seem to think they think that narrows their window a lot more. Like, it'll limit themselves in the end. And they can always change that later, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think 7 days is enough.
Right. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the website leaks looked pretty standard. I mean, I didn't see anything that was crazy. The other big thing is just the amount of partnerships that Beats has already is what'll push them in. I mean, obviously Dr. Dre is involved, Interscope Records. So, I mean, they could even go as far as buy a CD, you know, get a, buy a CD, good one, get a few free months of the service or whatever, you know. But they have a lot of celebrities that also have endorsed products through Beats. Like, what's that girl?
Miley.
No, there's a rapper. She has crazy hair. Well, she was on American Idol.
Shakira.
Super Bass.
Nicki Minaj.
There you go. She has, like, her own product, you know, the pill. Yeah,
that's right. I do recall her.
Ellen, you may know her from such great hits as Finding Nemo. She just recently launched her own Beats headphone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, people are going to be all over that.
Yeah.
People love Ellen.
Right.
She's pretty funny. I haven't seen an Ellen, no, neither here nor there.
Well, Danny watches it.
I would watch it.
Danny watches it just about every day, so usually when I come home, I catch the last half of it, because that's when I found out that she launched her own, because she does her 12 days of giveaways every year. And so one of the days, pretty much three or four of the days I saw, she was giving away her trademark blue color that everything in her whatever is headphones. So she has blue Beats headphones now.
That you can get a pair for Danny?
I should, no. She, no. Like, I'm going to have that discussion right now. but I think a lot of the involvement with the celebrities will help push it a lot. They have a lot of partnerships. But it's already a crowded space, so we'll see what happens. And they're late to the game. Quite late. But you never know.
Stranger things have happened.
And in the last bit of news I have, Google last night-ish, this morning-ish, launched a new version of their test Chrome called Canary, I believe.
Yep.
Which now gives users access to using Google Now on... You made that noise.
No, but I heard something over there, but it ended up being just your foot, I think. And the echo went off the chair, because it sounded like it came from over there.
You, like, made the noise, and you looked at your computer like your computer... Anyway, so... Google Chrome. You can get Google Now on it. Do you install Canary?
No.
I
don't do beta.
Not,
Chrome.
You're not hip on that?
No. I just like my
browser. I like a stable browser. I have 1,000 tabs open. I need them to stay open.
It's true.
I can't handle losing everything again. I mean, your browsers.
Of course. That's tabs. What you meant.
I have a back of
it. Welcome to the real world.
You know, it's a funny commercial. The one where the guy throws his coffee at the computer.
I've not seen this.
We're going to find it after this.
All right.
So he's like, oh, that guy's, he's like, it's like an inner monologue thing, right?
Okay.
I think it's a Windows commercial, which makes it silly to begin with, but, you know, no, I think it might, now it doesn't matter what it is. So he's like, oh, that guy spilt coffee on his laptop, and look at what he got in it, because it's like a tablet and a laptop in one, whatever it is they're selling. And then, so he's like in this inner monologue, and he's like going in slow motion, and all of a sudden he's like, he just throws his coffee all over his computer, like in the boardroom with everybody there, and it's like sparking, and he's like, yeah, it's a funny commercial, so.
We'll check it out.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Randall?
I did.
About Bitcoin?
No. Bitcoin's going to the moon, so you should get in while it's low. Just kidding. If you have any questions about Bitcoin, though, I am well-versed in the Bitcoin. Mike has been in the Bitcoin scene now long enough to understand the games and how enjoyable it can be. The one thing I was going to say that I forgot to talk about last week, random news, China. They did go to the moon. And they've got a rover there.
Why?
They're just hanging out, checking out moon rocks.
Looking for Nazis?
Probably space Nazis.
On the Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah.
Did you ever get that movie?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was cheesy as heck. It was funny. Cheesy.
What was it called?
Iron Sky.
Oh, Iron Sky. Yeah. That's off topic, huh?
Yep.
Anyways, so China went to the moon?
Yep. Now they've got a spaceship on the moon. For science.
What kind of science? Regular science?
Space science.
Astrophysics?
I don't think astrophysics.
Why not?
Just space science, Mike.
What's astrophysics?
Asteroids and physics in one. Randy, I don't think that's right. Are you looking it up?
Yep.
All right.
Astron, meaning star.
Star physics.
It's a branch of astronomy that deals with physics.
Oh.
The moon's not a star, Mike. Seems fair. You got me that time.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm Randy Orvis.
Yeah, is that all we got?
I go first.
First, if you'd like to follow us on any of our social networks.
I know. That was always funny.
I know. I get it. Ha ha ha. Twitter. You just find us on social networks.
We'll post our QR code so you can donate Bitcoin to us.
Bitcoin ad.
Now accepting Bitcoin.
Just like the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, follow us on our many... Mike, go to Google and type in Bleed Geek.
I'm Googling something else right now.
No, don't Google something
profesh,
else.
Profesh.
Can you just Google it? Fine.
No, I'll do it. Sports. I'll do it. Bitcoin. Sacramento Kings. That's not in Canada. It would make sense, Sacramento. It's in California.
What?
The Sacramento Kings now accept Bitcoin.
Bleed Geek. Not Believe Meek.
You want to know what? We bleed on Facebook, Twitter. We're all the top 10 on mine.
Yeah? That's when you search Bleed Geek?
Yep.
Two words?
Yeah. Two words.
All right. That I Bleed Geek's kicked off?
Well, it's not on here, but this Woo! Might be... That's hard to tell.
No, we're in the top 10.
Okay. Woo! Do you want me to go to the next page and see how far we go?
No. Don't worry about it. Well, fine. Go for it. Let's see how far we go.
Oh.
Social experiment.
Did you make us a Pinterest?
Maybe.
No, I Bleed Geek. Oh, yeah, we're only top 11.
Damn. Yeah, that guy, he was
He's on Pinterest. He was on Tumblr before. Yeah. Oh, there he is. He's like 15 on Tumblr.
Ah, suck it.
Probably even more than that.
So, facebook.com/bleedgeek, at bleedgeek on Twitter, 406-794-3357. So you can give us a call, shoot us a text message, whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Standard data text messaging rates apply.
Or even more so soon because the FCC. Yeah. So, you know, it might be more before you know it.
Shoot us an email, fans@bleedgeek.com. Or, if you like what you hear, shoot us a donation. Donate@bleedgeek.com.
You can follow us individually.
If you would like to join us for a podcast, hit one of us up on our many social media sites.
We just lose power?
No, my monitor's just turned off. They go off after an hour of inactivity. I am at the Crandall.
I am at Mike037. So
that's our
Mattress Man?
Michael Man.
Oh, I see what you did there. As always, we thank you for listening. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis.
Have a good night.
Go Google.